Today's shiur is Masecht Bava Basra, Daf Kuftes. We will begin on Daf Kuftes. I'm an Aleph, four lines from the top. Emosh Eiru Zahav. As we discussed in the previous shiur, already beginning from the beginning of the Perek, we are now discussing Hilchos Yerusha, and we're discussing the line of succession. And the Torah, when speaking about the line of succession, does not explicitly speak about where the father fits into the line of succession. The Gemara, in the previous year, taught us that the Torah, using the word She'eroi, comes to teach us that the father is a Yairish if his son, Rachman Slan, dies without children. And therefore, the line of succession is a son, a daughter, father, brothers. Ask the Gemara, now that we have identified that the father is a Yairish, Ema, perhaps, She'eroi, the word She'eroi that teaches us that the father is a Yairish, She'eroi Za'av, Melamed, She'av Koidim Labas. Maybe the order is not son, daughter, father, but rather the father precedes the daughter. And the Rashbam says that now that the Gemara is asking that perhaps the father comes before the daughter, included in the Gemara's question, interestingly, says the Rashbam, is that the order should be son, father, brother, daughter. And then not only would the father go before the daughter, but even the Nifter's brothers should go before the daughter. And the Mefarshim try to understand why would the Rashbam say it. The Gemara is only questioning that the father should go before the daughter. Where did the brothers come in? So Mefarshim explained, based on what we discussed in the previous year, that the brother's ability to Yarshin comes from the father. That means the father should be the Yairish, but if the father is not alive, so his children, who are the brothers of the deceased, become the Yarshim in his place. So say to Mefarshim, now that the Gemara is assuming, at least in the Havamina, that the father comes before the daughter, the brothers, who are an extension of the father, should also come before the daughter. That's one way of explaining the Rashbam. Another way of explaining the Rashbam is that at this point of the Gemara has not yet identified the close relationship that exists between a daughter and a father. And that's why the Gemara is assuming that since, as we learned at the end of the previous year, that the brothers have this unique characteristic that they are the ones that do Yibam, if the brother dies without children, that should create a situation that they should precede. At that part of the Gemara's question, that they should come before the daughter. But then the Achronim asked the obvious question. If we're saying now that the Gemara in the Havamina, at least according to the Rashbam, is suggesting that the order is son, father, brother, daughter, and as we've been explaining, when we speak about the brothers of the Nifter, we don't specifically mean the brothers of the Nifter. We mean all of the Nifter's paternal relatives. Now, as we also explained, everybody ultimately has a paternal relative. Because if he doesn't have a father, he has a brother. And if he doesn't have a brother, he has an uncle. And if he doesn't have an uncle, he has a great uncle. So, or cousins. So ultimately, everybody has paternal relatives. So if that would be the case, how would it ever come out that a daughter should Yashin? Because there's always going to be a paternal relative, ultimately. And therefore, how does the daughter Yarshin answer the Achronim? We refer to this in our previous year, that indeed, according to the Gemara in this Havamina, following the Rashbam's Pshat in this Havamina, the only time a daughter would Yarshin is the situation that I described in the previous year, where a woman was Megayer while she was pregnant, the husband was not Megayer. That child who's born to that mother has maternal relatives, his mother, has no paternal relatives, And there are Rishayim that suggest that even though, as we learned, and we'll discuss it more in today's shiur, that maternal relatives are not halachically considered relatives, that's only when there are paternal relatives. But in a situation where there are no paternal relatives, maternal relatives become your family, and that's when a bas, a daughter with Yashin, no other situation. So again, ask the Gemara, Ema, perhaps, She'eroi teaches us, Zo'av, that the father, Melamed Sh'av Kodnul Bas, and again, as I'm saying, that the order should be father, son, father, brother, daughter, Yochel, Yagdim Leben, She'av Kodnul Bas, Yochel Yagdim Leben, I would think that, so the Gemara goes back, and maybe the father should come before the son, Tamaloymer, so that the Pasuk says, Hakarev, Karev, Karev, Kodim. We always say that the closer relative comes first. And therefore, the son comes before the father. And as the Sefri already explains, the Torah uses the word hakarev with that hay. What is the Torah teaching us with that hay? The Torah is teaching us with that hay that Chazal left it to us, left it not to us, but the Torah left it to Chazal to decide who should come first. And Kivin, so now, as we explained in the previous year, that a karev teaches us that we always follow the closer relative, and a son, as we explained at the end of the previous year, is a closer relative than the father, and therefore continues the Gemara. Once we establish that the son is the closest relative, why do we say the son is the closest relative? Because we explained, because when there is a son, there is no yibum. The woman, the wife, is not a candidate for yibum. And now continues the Gemara. Kivin delinyim ban ubas kadodi ninu, since as far as Hilchus Yibum are concerned, it makes no difference if the nifta left over or a son or a daughter, no matter what he left over, the halacha is that they come, that they exempt their father's wife from Yibum. Therefore, l'nyanachla, when it comes to Hilchus Yerusha, nami ben ubas kadodi ninu. So what the Gemara is saying is that we combine two concepts. One concept we say is that the closest relative comes first in the line of succession, number one. And we proved that the son is the closest relative because he prevents his father's spouse from having Yibum. And now that we know that the halacha is that a daughter also has that ability, so that's why the son and the daughter are equal, and that's why the son comes before the daughter. That's why the son comes before the daughter. How do we know, explain the Rishonim, the Rashbam discusses this, that a daughter exempts her father's husband from Yibum? That a daughter, father's wife from Yibum? Says the Rashbam, the Pasuk says, regarding who has to have Yibum, Uben Einloy, if somebody dies without Einloy, without children, and without a son, but the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, we learned the Gemara says, Uben Einloy, Ayin Olav. Look, what is Ayin? Where do we have to look? We have to look not only if he didn't have a son, but even if he didn't have a daughter, that would be enough of a reason. If he had a daughter, I mean, that would be enough of a reason for no Yibam. I asked the Rishonim, the Ramban asked this question, Tosfos asked this question, that we learned in Masechta Yevamos, that Uben Einloy Ayin Olav comes to teach us, look if the child, if he left over a child who's a mamzer. That even if somebody only left over a child who's a mamzer, the halacha would be that that person's wife is exempt from Yibum. Or another child is, look if his son, maybe he's not alive, but the son left over a child, so there's a grandchild from a son. So how could the Gemara come to you? How does the Rashbam say, Uben Einloy, Ayin Olav, that that's the way we know that a daughter exempts the father's spouse from Yibum? Why don't we learn the word? We need it for different limudim. So the Ramban says a teretz that if a mamzer has the ability to exempt one's father's wife from Yibum, if a grandchild has that ability, a daughter is certainly no worse. Another pshat, how we know that a daughter has the ability to exempt a father's spouse from Yibum is because the Torah uses the words and why somebody's wife should have Yibum, because if somebody dies in Nebuch without children, Shemai Machui, if his name is erased. If he has a daughter, it's not Shmai Machui. And therefore, if there's a daughter, the halacha is that the daughter exempts the father's wife from Yibam, and that's why she also precedes her dead father's father in the line of succession. However, make the Rishonim a very important point. Even though we're now learning that a son and a daughter are sort of equal, and that's why a daughter has the ability, that's why the daughter yarshins before our grandfather, it doesn't mean that a son and a daughter are equal in the line of succession. And the son certainly precedes the daughter. And we have a number of rayas to that concept. One is what we discussed in yesterday's shir, that the din of steyachuza, that if somebody was magdish steyachuza and he redeems it, the halacha is that he keeps it even when Yovel comes. And we learned in the previous shir that that din doesn't only apply to the person who was magdish it, it also applies to a son, but doesn't apply to his daughter, as we'll learn later in the Gemaras. Similarly, the Torah says that if somebody, if a Jew owns an Eved Ivri, and then he dies, so the Eved Ivri will continue working if the owner has a son that he leaves over. He won't continue working for the owner's daughters. So even though Al Gemara is somewhat equating sons and daughters, it's not that they're perfectly equal, and sons come before daughters. But daughters come before the Nifter's father. Ask the Gemara, the Eimat, continues the Gemara, She'eru Zu'av. Again, let's say that the word She'eru comes to teach us the father. Melamed Sho'av Kaidim Lacha'av. That the father comes before his brothers. That means if the Nifter died and he left over a father, again, no sons or daughters, obviously, he left over a father and he left over uncles, the father comes before the uncles. Yochel Yagdim Lachim. I would suggest that he also comes before the brothers of the Nifter. Tamaloymer Hakarif, Hakarif Karif Kaidim, the close relative comes first. So maybe the Pasuk is only teaching us that the father comes before the uncles. How do we know that the father comes before the dead man's brothers? Answers the Gemara, that the father comes before his brothers. That the father comes before the uncles. Achia av lo tzichikra. That the father comes before his own brothers is obvious. Why? Because achia av b'koich man ka'asi. Why do uncles have the ability to inherit somebody? Because they are the brothers of the dead man's father. M'koich av ka'asi. They come only because of the father. Mikoyach av kayarsi. And that's what, Mikoyach ya av kayarsi ach ya av. So therefore, says the Gemara, that to tell us that the father comes before his brothers, I don't need a pasuk. Rather, what do I say that the pasuk is coming to teach us? That the father comes before the brothers of the Nifter. Ask the Rishonim. And going back, as I said in our previous year, we're going to discuss this concept on a regular basis. We discussed in our previous year of Machlokes Rishonim. When we say that the brothers Yarshin, we have two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that they are independent Yarshin. Another way of looking at it, which we use the halachic terminology, is mishmush, that the brothers yashin, because they are the sons of the Nifter's father. Ask the Mefarshim, what did Al Gemara just say? That why don't we need a pasuk to tell us that the uncles precede the father? Because the uncles are yashim only because they're the father's brothers. But if we're saying that the brothers of the Nifter are also only yashim because they're the Nifter's father's sons, so why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the brothers don't come before the father? Of course they don't come before the father. They are his children, and their entire koyach of Yerusha is only because of their father. So some Rishonim indeed use this Gemara as a raya to disprove the concept of mishmash and to say, from here we see that the brothers are independent yarshim. And since the brothers are independent yarshim, now we have a question, who comes first, the brothers or the father? And the pasuk teaches us the father comes first. The Rashba says, so how will the man d'omer that holds mishmash, how will he deal with this gemara? Says the Rashba, this is the raya, the mishmash. Says the gemara, that's exactly what the gemara is teaching us. That the gemara now proved that the father comes before the brothers. Why? Because of mishmash. Because the gemara is teaching us that don't think that the brothers are independent yarshim, but rather understand that the brothers' entire koyach, their entire ability to yarshim, is because they are the father's sons, and that's why the father comes first. So this gemara turns out to be the source, according to the Rashba, for the concept of mishmash. There's an interesting question asked by Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin. We all remember the parsha of Benoit Tzlofchad. We're going to speak about that parasha many times in the coming sugyas, where Tzlofchad died, and he only had daughters and no sons, and it was the first generation of the people who were going into Yisrael, and they came with a question, what should they do? And Moshe Rabbeinu that one time said that the Benoit Tzlofchad should marry within the Shevet. Now let's think about it. Tzlofchad died. He had no parents. He had no father. But he had brothers. So isn't that a raya that daughters come before brothers? So we're having a whole back and forth. Who comes first? Daughters or brothers? Isn't the parasha of Tzlofchad a raya that daughters come before brothers? So Rav Shulev Diskin says a very nice teretz. It's a hard teretz to understand. Al pi lamdus, but it's a very nice teretz. But now that we've discussed the concept of mishmash, it may be easier. When, says Rav Shulev Diskin, does the Torah prove that daughters come before brothers? That's when the father is no longer alive. In the case of Tzlofchad, as I just said, his father was no longer alive. So there, Tzlofchad's daughters are yarshim before Tzlofchad's brothers. But Algamar perhaps is referring to a situation where the Mess's father and brothers are alive. Then maybe they come before the daughters. That's why we need our Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Vakra lavach ksiv. Ask the Gemara, don't the Psukim point differently? The ksiv. The pasuk says, Vim ein ochiv achim la'aviv. That the Torah says if the father has no brothers, then the father shayarshin. So what are we saying? That the father comes before his brothers. That the fathers come before the uncles of the nifter. The Torah says that if the nifter doesn't have uncles, then the father should yarshim. How are we saying differently? Answers the Gemara, crush like a sidron ksiv. The psukim aren't in order. And again, the way that we try to explain the Gemara, going back to what I said earlier, that the Torah, by using the words hakarav, said to us that Chazal have the right to determine what is the proper line of succession. So the Chazal said that even though if we learn Pashup Shad in the Psukim, it seems that the father comes after the uncles, Chazal have the right to say no, that since the father is a closer relative than the uncles, he precedes the uncles. So till now, starting in our previous year and our current year, the way we know that the father is a Yairish is from the word She'eroi. However, says the Gemara, V'hai Tana, Maislem Ahocha. Another Tana learns the father's position in Yashning from the following Limud. L'tanya, Ezu Darja B'shmob Reb Yaisi, Ish Kiyomis Ubein Lein Loi, if somebody dies and he has no sons, V'vartem Es Nachlosoi Lebitoi, then you should give it to his daughter. And as the Rishonim point out in explaining this Gemara, the Torah doesn't use the word unesatem. The Torah uses the words v'havartem. What does the word v'havartem mean? You should pass over. What is the Torah teaching us? B'makom bas, if the nifter left over a daughter, atamavir nachlam anav, pass over the father and give it to the daughter. However, v'atamavir nachlam anav b'makom achim. But you do not pass over the father if there were no children left, there are only brothers left. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema, perhaps say the Pasuk means to say, B'makambas, if there's a daughter, Atamav and Nachlam and Achlam, that's when the brothers should be skipped. However, V'atamavir, Nachlam and Av, afil b'bas, and what the Gemara is saying is as follows, that if the Nifter didn't leave a father, he only left brothers, then the Torah teaches us, pass over the brothers and give the Yerusha to the daughter. However, if the Nifter left over a father, there may be the halacha of Havara, there the halacha passing over the father will not apply, and the father will come before the daughter. Answers the Gemara, Im Kain, if that's what the Torah is teaching us, that the Torah wouldn't have to teach us the special word Vavartem. The Torah, by going out of its way to use the word Vahavartem, is coming to teach us the slimud that the daughters not only do come before the father's brothers, but they even come before the Nifter's father. So now, where we're up to is at, in our previous shiur, we learned that the word She'eroi comes to teach us the father's, that the father's a Yairish and his position in the line of succession. Now our Gemara introduced the Braisa that teach us that we learn from the word Vahavartem and asked the Gemara the obvious question. Ulaman de Maskele mi Havartem, according to the Madam that learns the Limud of where the father stands from the word Havartem, Hai Sheremei Avadle, what will he do with the word She'eroi? Answers the Gemara, the Ba'alei L'chitanya. He needs it for a different Limud. To teach us She'eroi Zu Ishtai, that Melamed Shabal Yairus Ishtai, that a husband is the Yairish of his wife. And that creates a situation of Havara, as I explained in the previous shiur. Why? Let's say we'll have a person who's from Shevet Reuven, and that person passes away, and the only Yairish she has is a daughter. Now this daughter got married to someone from Shevet Shimon. So the person from Shevet Reuven who passes away, his daughter yarshins him, but now his daughter, who's married to somebody from Shevet Shimon, who are her yarshim? First yarish is a husband, second yarish is a son. But the husband and son are both from Shevet Shimon. So ultimately, what started off in being in Shevet Reuven's chelik will move over to Shevet Shimon. That's what the Torah is teaching us, that the husband yarshins a wife, and what it creates is a situation of Havara, that the portion moves to a different Shevet. Ask the Gemara, Ulamanda Mafkali Mish'eroi, the Manda Omer that learns the father's position from She'eroi, Hai Vavartem Mai Ovidle, what does he do with the word Vavartem? Answers the Gemara, the boy Lelechatanya, he needs it for a different Braisa. Rabbi Omer b'kula nema ben Nesina, by all the other Yarshim, as I pointed out, the Torah uses the words Nesina. The Kan, and here nema ben Havara, the Torah uses the word Havara. She'en lecha, shema v'shev, nachlam yishevet l'shevet elabas. Why? As I just explained, ha'il u'benoi u'bala Yarshim Aysai. Ask the Gemara, the first man the Omer that we've been learning in our sugyas, that says that She'eroi comes to teach us the father, or may the She'eroi Zeo'av, how do we know to define She'eroi meaning the Nifter's father? The Ksiv, She'eroi Avichihi, who? And there are two ways of understanding the Gemara. The Torah lists the different Ervis. The Torah mentions one of the Ervis, this is the way Tosfos Yontif explains the Gemara. The Torah says that you're not allowed to have relations with a chois avicha, your father's sister. So what is that aunt's, where does that aunt's relationship emanate from? That aunt's relationship emanates from your father. The Torah, in describing that iser, uses the words kisher avichahi. So we see by an erva that's emanated from your father, from somebody who's related to your father, the Torah uses the word sher. That's how the Tosfos Yontif explains. Very nice pshat. Others explain the Malbim explains, that we know that there are seven relatives that the Torah, that are considered one's closest relatives. That those are the relatives the one has to sit shiva on, rechamon son, if they pass away. All the other relatives are mentioned in that parasha. The only relative in that group of seven who's not mentioned is the father. So obviously when the Torah uses the word sher, it means avicha. It means the father. Ask the Gemara, Amish Erezuaim. And maybe the Torah is teaching us that the mother yarshins the son if he passes away without children. And doesn't the Torah use the word share regarding a mother? The Ksiv, share imchahi, amar rava, amar krav mimishpachta v'yarshasai. The Torah, when it describes the halachas of Yerusha, says a family member yarshins you. And the halacha is, mishpachas av kruy mishpacha, your paternal family is considered your family, mishpachas ain a kruy mishpacha, your maternal family is not considered your family. However, as I discussed in the previous year, and I want to dwell on this again for a moment, there are two ways that the Mefarshim understand this concept of mishpachas av kruy mishpacha, your father's family is your family, not your mother's family. One is that a mother's family is not considered family. The other way of understanding is that mishpachas aim is vada mishpacha. Just in comparison to your father's mishpacha, they're secondary. And I saw a very nice raya, and yesterday in the previous year I already discussed nafkaminas lahalocha between these two approaches. I saw a very nice raya that the way to understand that mishpachas aim is a vada mishpacha, it's just secondary to mishpachas av, is from the Rambam. If we look in the Rambam, when he discusses Hilchos Yerusha, he mentions all the halachas of Yerusha as we have been learning in our sugyas. But there's a very interesting term, language, that the Rambam uses when he speaks about the din that our Gemara just says, that a father yarshins, not a mother. The Rambam uses the words, medivrei kabbalah lomadnu, that the father, mishpachas av kri mishpacha, mishpachas aim ena kri mishpacha. Why is the Rambam adding the words, medivrei kabbalah lomadnu? Suggests the Lechem Mishnah, that the Rambam is teaching us this halacha. The don't chas v'sholom think that mishpachas aim is not kruy mishpacha. Avad the mishpachas aim is kruy mishpacha. Just in comparison to the father, that's when she's not considered family. And I saw that the Paiskim in fact suggest the halacha discusses certain situations where somebody gets engaged to a woman and then he finds out that there's a begam. It's a question of yichus in the family. So certainly, the halacha says that under certain circumstances, when he becomes aware of this, given that he wasn't aware of it before he got engaged, he has a right to break the engagement without any repercussions. Suggest the Paiskim that not only is that halacha applicable when he finds out that it's a begam yichus from the father's side, but even if it's a begam yichus from the mother's side, he has a right to break the engagement. Because it doesn't mean that mishpachas aim ain't a kruy mishpacha. It's a vada mishpacha. And in fact, what's the best raya? The best raya, two similar rayas, is that the decision, we learned the Gemara in the Sechta Yevamos, that how do we know somebody's a Jew? It matters who his mother is. Furthermore, by Goyim, we also learned from the Sechta Yevamos, that the entire yichus is based on the mother's family. Because we don't know for sure who is the guy's father. So certainly it doesn't mean that Mishpachas Ein is not family. It's just in Hilchos Yerusha, it's secondary to the father. And that's why, in fact, in certain areas of Halakha, the Pais can point out, the Mishpachas Ein takes precedence. We know that when Mispalul for Chayl Rechman Tzlan, somebody's sick, we use the mother's name, not the father's name. Ask the Gemara. Mishpachas aim ain't a kruy mishpacha, is indeed the halacha that the mother's family is not considered family for ksiv. The pasuk speaks about in Shoftim about the pesel micha, the avodah zar by micha, and the pasuk says that he nami beis lechem Yehuda. There was a boy who was the attendant by this avodah zara, and the pasuk says mishpachas Yehuda. He was from the Shevet Yehuda, Vuhu Levi. And he was a Levi, Fugarsham. And he lived by the Avodah Zarah. So the question is obvious. Hagufakasha. How do we understand the Pasuk? Amrit Vuhu Levi. The Pasuk says that he's a Levi. Amim a Levi also. So obviously he came from Shevet Levi. Then the Pasuk says, Mishpach Yehuda, that he came from Shevet Yehuda. Amim Yehuda also. So how do we reconcile this? Is he from Yehuda or from Levi? Elo, how do we have to say? Davur Melevi, his father was a Levi, Vimim Yehuda, his mother was from Shevet Yehuda, the common Mishpach Yehuda. And yet, the Pasuk, when it mentions his Yichus, says that he was from Mishpach Yehuda. So don't we have from here a Raya that the mother's family is taken into consideration? But ask the Mefarshim, if the way we're learning now, he was truly a Levi. When the Pasuk says he was Mishpach Yehuda, it only means that his mother was from Mishpach Yehuda, but that doesn't make him into a Yehuda. So then why does the Pasuk call him Mishpach Yehuda? Isn't that an indication, maybe just the opposite, that he was really from Shevet Yehuda and his mother was from Levi? Answer the Mefarshim that since it was Yehuda that had this, as we learn in the Gemara, this problem with Avodah Zarah, it makes sense that when the Pasuk says Mishpach Yehuda, it means that the mother's side, not the father's side. Answers the Gemara. So again, isn't this a raya that we do take the mother's family into consideration? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Avchanan, Loi. Gavra, the Shmei Levi. Really, he was from Mishpach Yehuda. I calls him a Levi. What it means is that the person's first name was Levi. So it was an individual whose name was Levi, who came from Shevet Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, Yehocha, Hane the Kama Micha. So how do we understand what Micha said? Atto Yodati, Ki Yetev Hashem Li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be good to me, Ki Hoyli Levi L'Kayin. But he wasn't a Levi. It only happened to be that his first name was Levi. Answers the Gemara, In. Micha was so satisfied that even though this individual had no connection to Shevet Levi, just that his name was Levi, the Sramale Gavra, the Shmei Levi, that his name was Levi was something so worthwhile to him that even though he had no connection to Shevet Levi, that he used as a raya that he will be successful. Why was Shmei Levi so important to him? So I saw three pshatim. One pshat is because Levi is the forerunner of the Shev of Kahuna. All the Kahanim come from Shevet Levi. And that's why Levi was very significant to them. Another pshat, as we will see in the Gemara in a moment, this person was a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Levi. And what he meant to say was that Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that he's a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu makes it important to me. Another pshat, I saw a very interesting pshat. The Torah, when it mentions that Levi was born to Leah, so the Torah says, why did Leah call this child, this son, by the name Levi? Because the Pasuk says, Hapam Yulova Alai Ishi. What does it mean, Hapam Yulova Alai Ishi? That now my husband will have a stronger connection to me, and I'll be able to benefit from that closer relationship. So we see that Levi is a name that represents benefit to the person who has that name, like the original Shevet Levi was named. And that's why Micha said, what he was trying to tell people was that if you will worship this Avodah Zarah, you will be like Levi, you will be people who will obtain benefit. Ask the Gemara, V'chi Levi Shmai, how can we suggest that this person's name was Levi? For La Yonason Shmai, his real name was Yonason. Shinema, the Yonason, Ben Gershon, Ben Menashe, Hu Ubonov, Hayakayanim, the Shevet HaDoni. What happened was, ultimately, Don, Shevet Don came and captured this Avodah Zarah, the Pesel Micha. And when they captured the Pesel Micha, they took along this attendant. And what does the Torah call it? What does the Pasuk call him? The Yonason, Ben Gershon, Ben Menashe. His name wasn't Levi, his name was Yonason. Amalei. And according to your understanding, was he a son of Menashe? Menashe came many generations later. Really, he was a descendant of Moshe. The Ksiv, B'nai Moshe, Gershon Veliezer. And Yonason was their descendant. So why is he called Ben Menashe? El Metoch Osam Mais Menashe. Since he did the same thing as Menashe, though we know that Menashe was an Oved Avod Zara, Tola Kosub Menashe. That's why he's considered a connected to Menashe. Hachanami, Metoch Osam Mais Menashe, Dosa Yehuda, since he acted like Menashe, who came from Shevet Yehuda, Tola Kosub Yehuda, that's why he's connected to Shevet Yehuda. And as the Mepharshim point out, if we look in the Pasuk in Navi, this word Menashe is not written out in the regular way, Mem Nun Shin Hei, but rather the Nun is raised above the Mem and the Shin. Why is the Nun raised above the Mem and the Shin? To point out that really he was a descendant of Moshe. But the Pasuk calls him Menashe because he acted like Menashe. Why Menashe more than any Oved Avodah Zarah? Mepharshim explained because Menashe was the paradigm of an Oved Avodah Zarah, and that's why the Mishnah uses, the Pasuk uses him as the example. Amar Reb Yochanan ben Shimon Reb Shimon ben Yochanan, Mikan Shetoylen as a Kalkol b'Makolkol. When we speak about a person acting inappropriately and we want to connect them, who do we connect them to? To somebody else who acted inappropriately. Reb Yochanan ben Chanina Amar Mahokol. How do we see this concept of toilin akalkol b'makolkol from a different pasuk? The pasuk says, "V'agamu toir ma'od." The pasuk speaks about Adoniyah, "V'oisa yolat achrei Avshalom," and he was born after Avshalom. So the pasuk connects Adoniyah to Avshalom. Ask the Gemara, "V'adoniyah ben Chagit," Adoniyah was Chagit's son, "V'Avshalom ben Macha." So how could we say they were born one after the other? They were born to different mothers. El Metoch Osam Mais Avshalom. Just like Avshalom acted inappropriately, so did Adoniyah, the Marbe Malchus, Tola Kosov Avshalom. So the Mashal explains, what is the Gemara preferring to use this pasuk to prove the concept of Tola Kolob Makulkul more than the pasuk of by Menashe? So the Mashal says a beautiful pshat. Yonason came many generations before Menashe. So to say Tola Kalkol b'Makolkol to a person who was never even born is difficult. Adoniyah, however, was born after Avshalom. So to say Tola Kalkol b'Makolkol by somebody who already was here makes much more sense. That's why he prefers this limud versus the limud from Menashe. Says the Gemara, Amar b'Lozal lo'olam yidbek adam b'toiva. A person should always marry somebody who comes from a good family. And the Ben Yoyad explains that the Gemara, by using the word lo'olam, is teaching us that even if a person is a great person, he shouldn't say, I'm a great person, so it doesn't make a difference who I marry. Or even if a person is in a situation like Moshe Rabbeinu, who had nobody else to marry, he ran away from Mitzrayim, doesn't make a difference. Or the Mepharshim say that even if a woman is a good person, Tzipora was a great person, so there I shouldn't care about the father. Teaches us the Gemara that you have to look at the father, even if the girl's a good girl. Although, I saw a very interesting Taz. The Taz says, very chiddush, that that was only before women were educated. But now if you have a woman who went to Beis Yaakov and was properly educated, then we should look at the girl and the family is less important. Moshe Rabbeinu, who married the Bas Yisroi, Yotzmen Yoinason. He had this child, this descendant, Yoinason. Aaron, on the other hand, Shinosa Bas Aminadov, Yotzmen Pinchas. The great Pinchas was his descendant. And the Mepharshim make a number of observations. One observation, they say, is the famous Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu met Yisroi for the first time, Yisroi told him that he'll have to give his son away for to be a kaimer l'avodah zarah, to be a priest for avodah zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu was comfortable giving the commitment because he knew he'll be able to convince Yisroi down the line to back off for the commitment. You see what happens when you marry somebody who is inappropriate. The The Meshech Chachma says a gevalde gevart. The Meshech Chachma says that this is two pshatim, he says. One is, we know that after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanichli, leave me alone, V'chala Eschem, I'll destroy Klai Yisrael Eskol Yisrael Goy Godel. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? I'm not the person you want to choose, because I'm going to have descendants who are the Avodah Zarah. So what are you choosing me? Furthermore, says the Meshech Chachma, we can understand now why Aaron played a role in the Chet HaEgel. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu take the kuna and give it to Moshe Rabbeinu and take it away from Aaron? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew there's no point in giving it to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants will be Avodah Zarah. Or Pinchas Lami Yisrael, ask the Gemara, is Pinchas not a descendant of Yisrael? V'ksiv, v'lozab ben Aaron lokach leim nois putiel, loyal isha. My laugh, who is putiel? Dosim Yisrael, it must be Yisrael. Shepitem, golem l'avodah zarah, who was a priest for avodah zarah. Loy. Says, my putiel doesn't mean Yisrael, the osu mi Yosef. It means Yosef, shepit Yisrael, he was able to prevail over his Yetzirah. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Pinchas didn't come from Yisroi, when we know the episode when Pinchas killed the Nasi, Zimri ben Sala, v'lai shvatim, v'vazim ma'isayim, v'aymrim re'isim ben puti zeh, shepitim avi avgarlim l'vadazara, that his grandfather was a priest, yaharig Nasi shevet mi'Yisrael, he should kill a Nasi, Ela, says the word, i'avud imimi Yosef, if from the mother's side he was from Yosef, if his father's mother was from Yosef, ima de imim Yisrael. Iavud imim Yisrael. If his mother's father was from Yisrael, ima de imim, his mother's mother was from Yosef. Diksiv, dekanami. What's the raya? Because the pasuk says, mibenois putiel. First, remember, machloikis. Either means putiel is a loshim rabim, or benois is a loshim rabim. Taratishmamino. So if so, we have back to our question. So why was Pinchas great and Yonasan not great? If they both came from Yisroi, so Mefarshim answered, Pashup Pshat, is that Pinchas was many generations later than, there were many more generations between Pinchas and Yisroi versus Yonasan and Yisroi. And that's why Yonasan had a problem and Pinchas did not have a problem. And in fact, the Paiskim say la'alokha, that when we look at a yichus, if there's more than three generations separating this person from somebody who wasn't such a great person, we have nothing to worry about. Another teretz that Taisus suggests is that Yonasan was from his father's side. Pinchas was from his mother's side. And as we're learning in our Gemara, the father's yichus is much greater than the mother's yichus. This Gemara, Risim Shvatim, that the Shvatim were Mavaza Pinchas, a very hard Gemara to understand. The Yarish Tavash says a very interesting pshat. The Yarish Tavash saying that, on the contrary, this was the way the Shvatim were actually praising Pinchas. That not only are great people in Klal Yisrael do great actions, but even people of weak yichus, he was a descendant of Yisroi, still did the right thing. Another pshat, Chassam Sofer's pshat, beautiful pshat. Chassam Sofer says, when a person does something, he has to be very careful to do it purely l'shem shemayim, not to have any other intent. So the Shvatim were concerned that Pinchas may let this get to his head, that he did such a great act. So they reminded him, look at your yichus, you're not that great. And that will keep him in check, that he should get the full schar for his act. Another pshat that I saw, very nice pshat, is as follows. The pasuk, why were they so anxious to say the yichus of Pinchas to Aaron? The Mishnah says regarding Aaron, he was oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. What does it mean, oyev shalom v'roidev shalom? Sometimes he knew you have to be oyev shalom, you have to run after peace, and sometimes you have to roidev shalom, you have to chase away the peace. The Shvatim said that was Yisroel, that was Pinchas' greatness. He could have thought that instead of killing Zimri, he should maybe be makar of him. He was oyev shalom, roidev shalom. He learned from his grandfather, sometimes peace is the right way, and sometimes peace is the wrong way. One last pshat, I saw from Ramesh Shapiro, a beautiful pshat. The pasuk says, "By the Akedah, for Lakim Nisus Avram." So ask the Mefarshim, what does it say, Lakim Nisus Avram? It should say, Lakim Nisus Yitzchak. Yitzchak put his head on the line. So Mefarshim answer, Yitzchak was Midas Kavura. So Yitzchak, to be ready to give up his life, is not a Chiddush. Avram was Midas Chesed. For him to kill somebody was big Nisoyim. So what happened here was that if Pinchas was the descendant of Yisroi, who are Goyim, and he used to murder, it wouldn't be such a great thing that he killed somebody. The pasuk says that he was a Yichus after Aaron. And Aaron was a peace-loving person. Still, even though he had that trait in him, he had that DNA in him, that he came from Aaron, who loved peace, he realized sometimes you have to go against your natural trait, your natural characteristic, to do what's right. That's what the Shvatim said, that he went against, that they wanted to say he was a descendant of Yisroi. So it's not such a great thing that he did. They said he's an enikel of Aaron, the most peace-loving individual, but he realized, l'shem shemayim, you have to be mekana l'kavod Hashem. What?